Right, a quick kind of a background of the basic geography and the demographics of Indonesia. The capital is Jakarta. The number of provinces is 34. And then in terms of demographic, we have a population of about 250 million people. And there are 300 over ethnic groups. And of the whole population, 95% are native Indonesians. They are called the sons of the soil. When you say native Indonesian, what do you mean? There will be tribes like the Javanese, which make up 41%, Sudanese 15%, the Melayu 4%, and then other native tribes as well. Too many to name them. And basically make up 95%. And then the second group of people would be the Oriental, the Chinese about 3%, Arabs 1%, and the Indians about 0.5%. And then the rest would be a very, very small percentage, maybe 0.001% would be Europeans because of the colonial heritage. You have the Dutch as the colonial master for one time, and you know, some of them still live there, but a very, very small but called population. All right, next slide, please. Thank you. And in terms of religion, the highest number of people in Islam is 87%. It will be the biggest Muslim nation of the world. That means of all the Muslim nations in the world, they have the highest in terms of percentage and in terms of numbers. And Christian only actually comprises about 9% of the population, and then the others will make up about 4%. Next slide, please. Thank you. Next click. Thank you. And in terms of the country, the constitution actually guarantees a freedom of religion, and the government only recognizes the six official religion. The first being Islam, and then the next one they will consider Christians, it will be the Protestant and the Catholics, followed by the Hindus, the Buddhists, as well as Confucianism. The last two groups, Buddhism and Confucianism, normally most of the Chinese would have this as their religion. And then also the constitution requires that every citizen be identified with one particular religion, whether you like it or not. That means they do not believe in agnosticism nor atheism. There's no such thing as you don't believe in God. You need to select one out of the six. All right, so that is the constitution. I believe they have some form of identity card, and then you will declare whether you are Muslim, whether you are a Protestant or Catholics or otherwise. So that is Indonesia. Next slide, please. Thank you. All right. In terms of what is our mission, what is God's main mission and calling for Indonesia? Now, if you remember when we did a mission work in China, there was a prophetic, actually a very strong prophetic word given to China as well as in Indonesia. For China, it is bring back the gospel back to Jerusalem along the Old Silk Road. Now, for Indonesia, it's actually a Christian bridge to other Muslim nations. It acts as a catalyst for Christian conversion. I'm going to elaborate a bit more later on. So that is the mission call for Indonesia as a nation. And so, we want to be part of the mission. What God is doing in that part of the world, that means we want to open the bridge of Christianity. Now, in the olden days, normally a city is surrounded by walls. And if a foreign nation or people want to invade that particular place, they have to kind of breach a wall. They need to gain entry into the city. And during a warfare, they would shut all the gates. So in order to penetrate, to tear down this stronghold, you need a bridge. Same thing when you go into a conventional warfare. The enemy will occupy a hill or more, and there will be a lot of obstacles around the knoll. So in order to secure that particular mountain or knoll, you need to have a bridge. And normally we put a missiles or torpedo rather than you blow up the place and then your soldiers will go through. Same principle spiritually. When you're fighting a spiritual warfare, the stronghold is Islam. And so you need a bridge. And so you need a bridge, need to penetrate that particular stronghold of Islam, and then you get the people converted. So we need to help to open this bridge of Christianity in Indonesia. Currently, it's only 9% of Christian. That is representing about 22.5 million people, Christians. And so after you help to, you know, open a wide bridge and penetrate that particular stronghold, and then the people get Muslim get converted into Christianity, then they form a sizable what they call number of people, and then they can become, because they are Muslim, they get converted, and in huge numbers, they can act as a Christian bridge to other Muslim nation, because they have been Muslim before and they get converted, and so their testimony will be more powerful to all the other Muslim nations in the Middle East. So that is what we are doing. Be part of the mission. This is what God is doing, and this is what we want to do to strengthen the churches. So the next slide, please. And so our general mission is, we don't start planting a new church. We work with a denomination and their churches, and we connect with some of the denomination pastors. And in particular, we have God has actually connect us with this particular pastor called Pastor Didi. Now, Pastor Didi background is, he has been with the GPDI denomination for about 40-50 years. GPDI stands for G. In Indonesia means, stands for Gereja, means church or churches. P, Pentecostal. D is like of. I is Indonesia. So Pentecostal Churches of Indonesia. And so they are called GPDI. And it's a big denomination. And Pastor Didi has been working with this organization for 50, 60 years. Out of the 30 years, he has been in the Bible school as a school principal in Tintana. And during the 30 years, actually, he has raised up about, each year they were trained 50 to maybe 100 students. So over 30 years, easily a few thousand students, you know, he has raised up. And now all the students have been actually pastors of all the different parts of Indonesia. So a very, very good contact and a connection. So about 6 years ago, I got to know him when we first embarked on a mission trip. And so he has become like one of my friends. And every time I go Indonesia, he becomes my interpreter. This is how he looks like, Pastor Didi. And currently he resides in Jakarta. And so this time, just to give you a background of GPDI, in Indonesia, it's got 16,000 churches. That is a denomination. 16,000 churches and about 1.5 million members in their churches. Now, the thing that distinguish GPDI from all the other major denomination is, the other denomination, their focus is on the city. So most of their churches, 90% of their churches will be in big cities or cities, and only maybe 5 to 10% would be in the remote area. But for GPDI, 10% of their churches are in big city, and 90% of the other churches are in the remote rural areas, you know, the churches that we visit. So this distinguishes them from the other denomination. So financial wise, they are not as maybe rich as the other churches in the big city. And next slide, please. And so he introduced me on this particular mission trip with the another pastor also from GPDI, and his name is Pastor Poli Ai. Poli Ai means he's also a local pastor of a small city in this area called West Kalimantan. Indonesia has got 34 provinces, and West Kalimantan is only one of them. And it's divided. They actually have their organizational structure is such that every province would also have their GPDI head, have a particular committee with a board and all the secretary and all the other members. So he is actually the GPDI head of the province of West Kalimantan for GPDI denomination. And in this particular province, there are about 60,000 Christians in that province in 500 GDPI churches. And so I got contact with him. Later on, I'm going to tell you a bit more about the work that he's doing. And then the second pastor is actually Pastor Malone, the team members share about. He's also a local pastor of a village or rural church. And he also is a GPDI secretary of West Kalimantan. This is how he looks like, his wife and the daughter. The other one is Pastor Poliai. He's this person here, and that's his wife. All right, next slide. Thank you. Now, so this trip is actually an exploratory trip. We're actually seeking the Lord as to the mission work that He wants us to adopt. And so a few things that we are looking into, to look to adopt a group of GPDI village churches, small, they are small churches, most of them from 10 to about maybe 50 people, and then the bigger ones would be about 70, 80 people. Now, if you remember about 5-6 years ago, we also did a mission work to Indonesia, and that part, what happened was, after about 3 years, every about 4 to 5 years, they actually changed, or rather, all the churches, local churches, will actually vote for the board members, the chairman, so on and so forth. And so, after about a few years, the superintendent that we work with, actually, he no longer holds the job. Another person got voted to become the chairman of that particular province. So the work that we have been doing there has to stop. And as a result, I contacted Pastor Didi and I got him to, connect us with a new group of people. And so these two people, Pastor Poliai was actually his former student as well as Pastor Malun. Both are his, former students, and therefore he said that now they are actually sitting on the board, and you are most welcome to visit that part and to help them out in whatever you can. So when we go there, we look to adopt a group of GTPI churches in this part of Indonesia. So we actually have changed our area from Sulawesi to West Kalimantan. Of course, we also need to train and equip them. Why we need to train and equip them, as you become aware, all the remote rural churches, nobody cares about them because they are small, they are poor. Nobody is interested in them. Even the big city churches in Jakarta and other major cities, there may be big churches there, but they are not interested in the rural churches, because they are insignificant. Them is insignificant people, a waste of my time. I mean, not all of them, but some of them think I have a bigger congregation to look after. I'm interested in, a bigger scope of things. So when we visit them, they are so happy because somebody showed the love and concern and willing to come and visit them and to train them. So that is very important. So we are, this particular rural church, he said, this is the first time they have a teaching seminar. Have never done it before. This is the first time that a foreigner comes and train and equip them. And also, perhaps we can be a partner also to help the Bible school, a college, to train the pastors. The denominational head of that particular province, he also is entrusted looking after Bible school, and every year they train about 30 to 50 or sometimes 70 students, depends. And after training the students for about 2 years, they send them out to all the rural, to the village, to plant churches. And then also help them financially when appropriate. And so that is basically our mission. So this is actually an exploratory trip to explore how we can do those things. Next slide, please. Now, just to get you to know where West Kalimantan is, this is Australia. You orientate yourself. These all the different colors actually shows the different provinces of Indonesia. There are a total of 34 of them. And this particular province that we go to is West Kalimantan, is on this big island called Borneo. It's actually, this big island is actually shared between Malaysia. You can see East Malaysia here. And all the other color parts belongs to Indonesia. And so, West Kalimantan is also a huge place. Next slide, please. So, the province of West Kalimantan is actually the third largest province of Indonesia. The capital is, city is called Pontianak. Another name is actually a province of 1,000 rivers. So when you go to that place, you see lots and lots of rivers. So a common form of transport will be by boat or by ferry. In terms of demographic, population, 5.5 million people. Perth only has about maybe about 2 million, so we about they are about 2.5 times per population. Now the in terms of demographic is slightly different. We don't have the a lot of Javanese and Sudanese. You have instead the tribe called Dayak, which comprises 35%, and most of them live in this hinterland. And then the next will be the Melayu, the Malays 34%, and they live in coastal areas. Now the Javanese is the third group, and they live in transmigration area. Transmigration area means they don't really live there originally. And what happened is the Indonesian government sometimes they want to kind of the Muslim to be more spread out, so they send all these Javanese to a designated area. So they are in the transmigration area. And then the fourth group will be the Chinese, 8%. As you know, most Chinese are good businessmen, and therefore they live in the urban areas. And these two main towns, Singkawang and Pontianak. So that is the demographics. The next slide. So if you look at the religion, Indonesia, 87%, as I said, is Islam, 9% Christian, and the rest, 4%. So when you look at the West Kalimantan, the number of Muslim actually decreases to about 59%. So it's the province, the average is below the national average. They are more Christian, but they are more in the Roman Catholic area, 23%, and then Protestant would be 11%. So the average, the Christian is much higher than the national average, but then most of them are Roman Catholic. So when you go to big cities like Pontianak, you see quite a number of Roman Catholic church. And then, of course, the rest would be 5% Buddhist, mainly they are the Chinese, and then the rest would be 2%. You look at the rural area, the village town that we went to, Teluk Bangtang, percentage of Christian, 1%. Only about 1,000 Christian in quite a wide area, and maybe as wide as Perth metropolitan area. And there are 15 GPDI churches. And so the population is about 100,000 people, all spread out different parts. And out of the 100,000 thousand population, there are only 3 doctors. One is in another area, another 2 doctors, husband and wife team. And as you know, Brother Martin cut his part of the what they call the toe, and then was a deep cut. So this doctor went to see the doctor, and the doctor is a Christian but from another denomination. So the doctors did the stitches, and so at the end of it, we asked how much is the cost, how much you charge. He said no charge. He said, because you are Christian, I'm Christian, and you come from overseas, we really appreciate what you are doing, and therefore, no charge. So all over the world, you have brothers and sisters in Christ. He's glad that, you know, he offered this service, rendered this service free of charge. So next slide, thank you. So the mission team, as I said, 4 of us flying to Pontianak via Kuala Lumpur. And when we reached Pontianak, we had a meal with this Pastor Didi, and he's also from a particular church, and at the same time, he also has his own Bible school, and he's one of my good friends now, and they all enjoyed the meal. Just to tell you, we had wonderful seafood meal, and it only cost us about $13 Australian, each one. We have lots and lots of seafood. It's so cheap. The food is so delicious and so nice. And it's only $13, which you get from a food court, you know, in Australia. So it's really cheap. We order squid, we order prawns, we order, lots. I don't want to make you all jealous. All right, next slide, please. Thank you. All right, so we took a speedboat from Pontianak. As you know, we are packed like a sardine, and this is a typical scene. Next slide, please. And from Pontianak, we actually took a speedboat, actually went through all this. You can see a tiny orange line that are traced on here. It's meandering, you know, lots of rivers, because it's a province of Thousand Rivers, and it goes through here, and then eventually it comes here. Now, is there another way to go to this particular place? Yes. We found out there's another place you can fly from Pontianak to another town, which is far below, about 50 minutes flight. And then from there, you can actually drive about 2 hours to this particular place. But if you were just to take what they call by car, you can go through all kinds of jungles, all the long kind of detour, and eventually it takes you 10 hours, 10 to 11 hours to reach there. So this is like the most convenient and the cheapest route, you know, because it only costs us Australian $20 each. If you take a flight, you rent a car, and so it will be more costly. So this is the cheapest and the fastest way to come to this place by speedboat, all right? But it takes about 4.5 hours, including the toilet breaks. So next slide, please. Thank you. So after we arrived the next day, we actually had a day seminar for about 34 pastors. And many of these pastors have to actually come on a motorbike. Takes about 8 to 10 hours. Another pastor came about an hour, 1 day's journey, and he comes from a very, very rural area, as Brother Albert say, that place is so far, and the only way that they can come is by ferry, by boat, and you cannot, go there by bike, or you cannot go there by car. So most of them, as I said, about maybe 10 to 15 pastors have to take a motorbike and travels about 8 to 10 hours. So 34 of them in total. And the topic that I covered was actually the journey of Israel, which is also a journey of a Christian and also the journey of a church, and also try to impart to them the vision of Zion. As you know, the pastors are very, very hungry and thirsty for God. It was a very fruitful, the people responded to the particular vision. And so morning was on this topic, and then afternoon, next slide please, Brother Nigel teach them on worship, and also there are quite a few questions that they ask, and we provide hopefully the answers. Next slide please. And the night, the very typical Indonesian kind of churches, normally at night they will have a night meeting called the revival meeting. And it is open to the, what they call the public. In fact, pastors from other churches, Christians from other churches also came to this particular meeting. So the place was packed with people. There are about 240, 250. There's a bit of overflow outside as well, overflow room. And they are very vibrant in their worship. Even the children, it's just very spontaneous, they just come forward. They are hungry and thirsty for God. And one of the young boy that Brother Martin interacts with, he was actually a Muslim, converted to a Christian. But once you are come from Muslim family, you're converted to Christianity, the parents have to disown him. So he has to be on his own. And he has to live with, the pastor. The pastor will look after him. And the other thing is, which we are, not quite there yet. They wake up about 4:30, 4:45. And then they pray at 5 a.m. in the morning. We don't pray that early in the morning. So we had our prayer meeting at 6. So that one, in a way, we have a lot to learn from them in that area of prayer. So many of them, even this young child, he said he will wake up 5 o'clock and pray. All right, that has become their habit. They have become their discipline. So you can see the children, so many of them, they came up for prayer, very hungry and thirsty for God. Next slide, please. Thank you. And then on Sunday, while I preached at that particular church, Brother Nigel was invited to go to another church, a Javanese church, to preach. And we throw Brother Albert into the pool, and they say you have to be on your own, learn how to swim. First time that he's doing the interpretation in Indonesia. So you can see them, two of them. And the people are so hungry, and you can see the video that we played. They are so vibrant, you know. They are so natural in worshiping God. This is something that we need to learn. You know, we need to really express our love, adoration in a very with liberty. You know, don't inhibit ourselves from doing those things. And even though they are poor, they are needy, but that is not a main concern for them. They just want to praise and worship the Lord. And they are so hungry. Every time altar call, they come out, they respond. You can see from the facial experience of these people there. Next slide, please. Thank you. And of course, in between, we have served with lots of food. Very, very tasty and delicious Indonesian food. And you can see Brother Martin, you know, he's so natural with the children. They just love him. They just mingle, go around him. They just love to talk to him. And he had a wonderful time with them. All right, next slide. Thank you. And then afternoon, after the Sunday worship, after lunch, we go to a more rural church. This is a church they have. It sits about 40 people. Currently, he has about 30 people. And this family is, this is a pastor, the one in white and orange. And they are so hospitable. They serve us with coffee from fresh from the garden. And also gave us bananas. And then Brother Martin had to carry the whole bag back to the village church. This is how the inside, how the church looks like. All right, then next slide, please. All right. Go back again, sorry. This pastor, just for your information, you cannot get to this church. You have to walk, you know, along the track, as you can see. There's only accessible by bike, but car cannot. Once you reach a certain point, you have to walk or you have to take a motorbike. This pastor has been serving there for many, many years, and they are so cheerful, no complaint, and not cast down. Despite the fact that the wife had cancerous tumor on the neck. And so, after we visited them, we prayed for him. So, really an encouragement to us, you know. And no treatment, in the sense that they're too poor. They cannot have an operation, so they just continue the life as it is. Just take some basic medication, that's it. Cancerous tumor, and yet, you know, faithfully serving the Lord. Next slide, please. Thank you. And then next day, we went to the city church. The dynamics of the church in the city is very different from the village. This is the Pastor Paul Yai. He's also a denominational head of West Kalimantan. At the same time, he's also a local church pastor. And then just visited him, paid a courtesy call and fellowship with him. And then next day, he brought us to the Bible school. Next slide. This is the Bible school. This is the main hall. This is how the hall looks like inside. And what happened was he opened up an invitation. He said, anytime you want to come, we have a course that runs 9 months of the year. Anytime you want to come, not a problem. You can come and teach from a few days to a week. Just let me know. So he has opened up that teaching ministry to me. And then the next slide, this is the condition of the Bible school. This Bible school was actually what happened about 30 years ago. There was a church in Singapore that visited this place. And then out of their love for what they're doing, they actually helped them to build this Bible school. But after 30 years, of course, the facilities has run down. You can see that the roof is, you know, some of the timber boards are falling off. And inside is in a very run-down condition. And then he showed me this piping system. Actually, they're drawing water from the ground. There is no water coming from the government. So every house in the rural area, they have to actually drill a bore, go deep down, and then hopefully they can pump the water out. And so they say now there is a capacity, a limitation in terms of the how much water they can draw from the electric pump. And because of the maybe the change of the there's a change of climatic conditions, they don't receive as much rain as before, and so this bore has actually hit the rock. He said that they're getting very limited water supply in order to get more water for the students. He said they need to dig beyond the rock, and so they need a special equipment from Java, and you know, dig below, and then they can hopefully hit more water so that they can reach the water table. So this is the condition they are in, but they still have in water, but limited. So those are the things, those are the needs that they have. So we pray about it, and then we see how the Lord leads, you know. And next slide, please. And so main observation, the village churches, definitely they need lots of teaching and spiritual support and encouragement. That is their number one need. Second, though they are poor and needy, but they are very prayerful, they are very hungry spiritually. And then, of course, they are also under bad influence and persecution from the Muslim extremists. What happened is, the as you know, Indonesia is a Muslim majority country. A lot of the Muslim extremists go to these villages, and they actually threaten those pastors and Christians and try to force them to come back to become a Muslim. So they are facing a lot of persecution, also bad influence from them. And actually met a number of them, you know, because of that, they went back to Islam. And then in the village, they say that for those young people, after they reach about 18, after their high school, they need to leave the village for higher education, the TAFE equivalent or higher education in the city. So if they want to be trained in some particular skill, not available in the village, so they have to go to the city. So the problem for pastor is, after they grow up, beyond 18, many of them have to go to the city, and most of them don't come back, because after they are trained, that's where they get the jobs in the city. They don't normally come back. So that is a problem. And then, of course, last but not least, need some form of financial support. So after this trip, we're going to pray and seek the Lord what He wants us to do. Though we are not, say, a big church, but yet we can, you know, do something within our capacity. So as do any work, we need to pray and seek the Lord. Even though there's an invitation there, I've not said, yes, I'm going to come, but we have to seek the Lord in terms of direction. Looks like we're going to plan another trip. We have done the research. Besides the Bible school, this church also has an orphanage of about 15 to 20 over children. Also not too far away from the Bible training school. So potentially, we may go there again, and places that we can go, rural churches, Bible school, and orphanage, and a few other things. So these are the things that we are kind of considering, and hope that the Lord will confirm. So the next trip, we hope that we can open up, you know, the mission trip to more people. And because we are aware that ladies cannot simply go, you know, and take this kind of speedboat. Right, not possible for you. So the only other way is to fly down and then take another 2.5 hours trip to that particular town. That is a possibility. So these are the things that we kind of trying to explore. And hopefully by early next year, we can kind of confirm what we're going to do. And by the time we make an announcement, we can open up to more people. So I'm going to close now. Any final question, one or two questions before I close with prayer? Any question? Yes, Brother Joseph. Mix. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of diets. Yeah. Yes, that's right. And this pastor, Bolian, wanted to say, you come next day, next time I'll bring you to Kuching, where you came from. I don't know why he was so enthusiastic to bring me. I said, in our mind, we better focus on Indonesia first, you know. We don't want to be too diluted in our effort. But interesting that he mentioned about Kuching. Yes, any other question that we'll close? One more question. Yes, one more. Yes. We gave them... For the all the food and so on. So we, you know, give some allowance to the pastors for their making the long trip there. And we're still sorting out whether there's any shortfall, you know, in the expenses. Yeah. So let's close. Shall we stand? Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go to Indonesia, Lord, to look at some of the places, the churches, Lord, you care for them. Lord, even the far remote places you have, Lord, to put into the hearts of these pastors to go and reach out, Lord, to those people whom you love. Your heart, Lord, is for the many poor and needy in those parts of the world. And as we go there, Lord, we are touched, Lord, by your care. And these people, Lord, are important to you as well. And so we pray for confirmation, guidance as to what we are next off to do in this area of mission. Lord, we know it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we want to commit our hearts and mind to you and ask that you speak to the board members, the elders, and even some of the fellow Christians here, and so that we can do the things that is in alignment with your will. So I pray, Lord, you will also touch the hearts of the people. Even as we go, we are representing them, Lord, because we are all part of this church. Lord, we are representing them because they pray for us. Lord, they provide the finance, Lord, in terms of the tithes and offering and many other forms of support. And so we acknowledge, Lord, their part, Lord, in this mission. And you will bless them. Lord, you bless the churches in Indonesia. Lord, that is our prayer is that your gospel will go to all the four corners of the world. Every part, Lord. No part, no area or village should be neglected in any form or any way. And so we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. The service has ended. God bless you and I hope to see you again. Have a